The reading is from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. Then moving on to verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then moving to verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Well, as I start to speak this morning, I need to tell you that I've got a woman right in the centre of my mind, and it's not Caroline. This woman came up to me recently when I was speaking at a church in West London, and she was insistent. I can see her now, I can hear her. And what she said to me was, "I just want to be encouraged." She said it more than once. She said, "Life is tough. The problems are many. Holding on to my faith is very hard work. I want somebody to say to me, it's okay, you're on the right track, keep going. I want to go away encouraged." Now, I can't remember her name. She did tell me, but I've forgotten. But I'm thinking about her today, and anybody else like her who comes into this place saying, "It's tough, I want to be encouraged." Now, I've been asked to speak for 2 weeks, this week and next week, and if possible, to do something that links together in those 2 weeks. And there's a challenge to create a 2-week mini-series. There were lots of possibilities, but I've been drawn to this. I'm going to take as my text the Bible. Yeah, all of it. And I've chosen to put on the screen an old and battered Bible. Because that's what I think a Bible ought to look like. A Bible is something to be used. It's a tool to be used. Do you know, if I called a workman to my house and he opened his toolkit and he hadn't even used it before and it's still all wrapped up in plastic, I would be suspicious. I want someone who brings tools that they've used and worked with, tools that have been handled. And the Bible is a tool that we need to handle. So, yeah, that's my text. I bet those who are reading are glad I haven't asked them to read the whole reading, because we would be here a long time. And I know it's a bit ambitious. So this week, I'm going to take the first 10 words of the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And next week, the last 10 words of the book of Revelation. And you know that lady sits there, and I want her to be encouraged. So the Bible begins with these majestic words in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It sounds deeply resonant and poetic in its original Hebrew. It sounds strong when we hear it now. And these are the foundations on which the whole Bible is built. Now, today's building regulations take foundations extremely seriously. If you're building a new building, you know that you will have to have a building inspector come and look at your foundations to check that they're all right, to check that they're going to take the weight of that which is going to be built on them. And if they don't take the weight, then that building is inherently dangerous. That building is suspect. That building is probably illegal. And having excavated right to the depth, as we start doing our building, the first layer of bricks in our Bible says, in the beginning, God. It's on that foundation that everything else is built. So the Bible begins with this captivating statement of determined, thought-out belief, fundamental to everything else, that at the very start, in the beginning, there was God. Everything depends on it. Before there was a world, before you and I existed, before space and before time, in the beginning, God. The best minds of Israel said, this is our faith. And now we affirm that is our faith too. And it was very different to what other people thought at the time. The other nations around Israel believed in a different start to everything. The Babylonians had a dragon monster that was there in the beginning. The Phoenicians had a mother goddess. On the other side of the world, the Australian Aborigines were thinking of a great serpent, a great snake. So many ideas about where everything started, where it all came from. But the people of the Bible said, in the beginning, God. So let's affirm right at the start that the universe, the visible and the invisible cosmos, all come from God. One of the things I love to do here in Cambridge is to go to the university's astronomy department when they have public lectures on a Wednesday night in the winter. On a clear night, they let you use their telescopes, and I've seen the moons of Jupiter, I've seen the rings on Saturn. And recently listened to a lecture to see pictures based on a recent unmanned mission to explore Pluto. Our world is incredible. It is amazing. It is still surprising scientists every day when they see new things. When I went to school, there was no such thing as the Big Bang. It wasn't until the 70s that that became the generally understood way that our visible universe began. And we live in Cambridge, the town that has helped make major advances in the processes of understanding creation. The work of Stephen Hawking and others. Now, I confess to you, I haven't yet read his book, A Brief History of Time. It's on the bucket list, but I haven't got time to read the history of time yet. A little while ago, my daughters gave me as a present a year's subscription to the New Scientist magazine. And there was an article in there called Before the Big Bang. What was there before it started? Well, our text from Scripture tells you what was there before the before. Because in the beginning, God. Now, you can't prove it, of course. But like those who proclaimed it right at the beginning of Scripture, you can look at the fact, you can come to a reasoned conclusion that God was there from the very beginning. And as we believe that, just as it did in those days, so today it marks us out as different from our neighbours and people round about us. Now, they don't believe in dragons and mother goddesses and snakes like they did in those days. Now people believe in blind chance and pure coincidence. And that's very different from those of us who will say, we believe there is a creator in the beginning, God. And this universe is not an accident, it is a creation. And to know that, I say to my lady, this is encouraging as we wrestle with the big questions of life. Now, I want to move on to the second part of our reading. We read three brief extracts from the book of Genesis. The first was about heavens and earth. The second is about people. That's human beings like you and like me. And our text affirms that for every person living on this earth today, and everyone who's lived in previous days, years, centuries, decades, for each one, each individual, we say in the beginning, God. It's not to say that they know of God. It's not to say that they have faith in God. But before the start of every human being that has ever lived on this planet, there is God. Which is why we define life as sacred, which is why we say every life matters. That every person is important, that each life is a gift from God. Whether a person believes it or not is irrelevant. We say every person has God at the very beginning. And that's what our world has forgotten. That is why there is knife crime that is taking the lives of our young people in our cities. Because people have forgotten that each person is given a gift of life by God, comes from God and is going to God. That is why we can have that atrocious terrorism attack in New Zealand. Because we've forgotten that each person is a gift of God. And that's why you and I can pray for people. Even the most random people. Now, I know some people will only pray for Christians. That is not God's way. We can pray for those who have faith, but we can pray for those who don't have any faith and don't have any knowledge. We can pray for anyone, whatever their beliefs, whatever path they are following. Because right at the start of their life, there is God. And God knows them. You'll know people who have no awareness of their spiritual origins, who live their lives in a way that you find hard to understand, who've made choices that you disagree with, but whatever's happened to them, you have to look at them and say, in the beginning, God. When there are people you find hard to accept, people will anger you, upset you, disappoint you, who quite frankly may terrify you. Before those feelings run away with you, look at them and say quietly in your heart, in the beginning, God. And when things are hard for you, remember this is true of you as well. That's why we read from that wonderful Psalm 139. Lord, you know me, you've searched me. You knit me together in my mother's womb, says the old version. And I think a man must have written that. A man who looks at a ball of wool being converted majestically and mysteriously into an Aaron sweater and says, how on earth did that happen? You knit me together in my mother's womb. That's how our lives began. Before the biological big bang that made you, God was there. That's why God could say to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You know, lots of people today are trying to trace their roots. Where did I come from? There's some magnificent programs on television where very clever researchers manage to put together people's past history. People want to know their origins. But the Bible takes it back further than any family history can ever do, back to the origin that really matters for you in the beginning, God. And you can look back with wonder, with gratitude, maybe with amazement, as it was for the universe, so it is for me. At the start of everything, there was God. And that's not true just of the universe, of people, but it's true of life. After affirming that God was the creator of the world and people, the book of Genesis goes on to talk about life. There is intimacy and sex here. Be fruitful. There is food and eating here. There is our relationship with all creatures, with the environment, with work. It affirms a principle that runs through the whole Bible. All of life is a gift from God, and God wants us to live it abundantly. He's not only the God of the spiritual and the heavenly, he's the God of the physical and the earthly as well. So your relationships are included in this. Your friendships, your family, those close to you. God is at the start of all of those things. God was there before you knew he existed. God was there when you had no idea of his presence. God was there even before the beginning. Now, I don't say that to scare you. If you go into a Victorian home, you may see an embroidery or maybe a plaque bearing the words, "Thou God seest me." And you know, that was written there to try and keep people on their best behavior. God is looking, so you better not step out of line. It's almost a threat, a wagging finger. But to say in the beginning, God, it's not a threat. It's a comfort. It's a help. It's an encouragement. God knows. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where it started. He knows how and why it went wrong. He knows a way into something better in the future. So whatever part of life is troubling you today, just stop and say, in the beginning, God. Maybe it's your work situation. Well, God was there at the start of that job. Maybe it's your home. God was there. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your health. In the beginning, God knew all about that as well. Maybe it's the people or the things that trouble you that wake you up in the middle of the night. Just stop and say, in the beginning, God. You can talk to him about it. He understands. You can seek strength and help from him. He gives strength to the weak and the weary. And you'll find a hand that will hold you in the darkness. Now, I've got a friend who preached a sermon from the Old Testament, as I'm doing at this moment. And somebody said to him, you know, that sermon could have been preached in a synagogue. There was nothing specifically Christian about it at all. And you might say, well, that's true of what I've been saying up to now. But you can't preach on in the beginning God without seeing what the Bible does with that most momentous start to the scripture. Because John, the disciple of Jesus, who wrote the last of the four Gospels to be written, wrote it after years of thought and reflection, the most mature of Gospels. He chooses this way to introduce Jesus to his readers. In the beginning, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Quite deliberately going back to the first words of the Bible. Telling us what the writer of Genesis didn't know. Who is this God who was in the beginning? Genesis says no more than the fact that he was God. But John tells us more. John tells us that he's the God who was seen and made known through Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the expression of this God. For the Word became flesh, human, lived among us. He came to us from the Father. He is the true light that gives light to every man. In the beginning was the God who revealed himself in Jesus. Now, we're far away from anything we might hear in a synagogue. They only know the God in the beginning. And we're saying what only Christians can say, that the God who was in the beginning is the God who became human in the life of Jesus. Of course, God showed himself in many ways through history. But the best, the clearest, the most faithful expression of God is to be found in the life and the words of Jesus. And ultimately, in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And so, in this Lent season, as Christians prepare for what should be the highlight of the Christian year, for Easter, for remembering the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we come to these words. Now, traditionally, Christians have used Lent as a time for fasting. And many people, you know, have given up chocolate or given up this and that, which may well be a good discipline, but may not help us to focus on the meaning of Easter. More recently, people have tried to do something more positive, something that helps people in need as a reflection of Jesus himself. So there are people who, each time they shop, buy a little extra and give it to the food bank. There are people who are making up a box with one small item for every day of Lent to give to the homeless. People who are making extra gifts to charity. People who are doing daily kind, supportive deeds, offering hospitality perhaps, doing something for the environment. All sorts of ways of remembering in Lent the God who was in the beginning, who became human, who went about doing good, being compassionate, being practical, who was crucified, buried, and who rose again on the third day. You know, Jesus could look at a person in desperate need and see beyond today's desperation. See that here's a person God knows, God loves, God cares for. Here's a life God has given. And despite all the trauma and the mess and the hurt and the pain, Jesus could look beyond that and see that in the beginning, God, that was how he treated people. That was how he understood his own life. He came from God and was going to God. That was true of others as well. So that's what we think of in Lent as we focus on Jesus. The universe, people, life, Jesus. For each one we can say, in the beginning, God. Let me finish this way. My son-in-law was given for Christmas one of those books that you keep in the toilet. You pick it up when you've got spare time to think and to meditate. And just recently, I was reading this book of stories and facts and jokes and little nuggets, and I learned something about pirates. It explained why pirates traditionally have a black patch over one eye. It was not, as I thought, because they'd had an injury and had their eye poked out or something desperate like that. It was so that the pirate, if he was suddenly thrust into a situation of fighting below deck in the dark, he had an eye that was already prepared to see in the darkness. An eye that was prepared for combat in those dark situations. And he would tear his patch off, and he was already accustomed to the dark, and he was at a great advantage against those who were unaccustomed to the dark. Now, I didn't know that. But as I meditated, I thought, you know, we ought to be like the pirate, to be prepared to face all sorts of challenges and situations that come to us. And one of the best ways of being prepared is to have that deep, unshakable, rock-solid belief that in the beginning, God. And whatever happens and whatever we go through, nothing can change those mind-blowing words that open the Bible and begin this whole adventure of Scripture. In the beginning, God. And believing it will help us face life, will help us face this week, will help us face whatever problems come to us. If we can say in our hearts and really know it and believe it, that right at the start, there was God. In the beginning, God. And in the end, well, you'll have to come next week for that bit. Let's pray together.